The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Marvelous Monday! And don't forget the gift that God has put inside of you. Oh, yeah. And then here's something you don't hear very often. Death got its teeth kicked in by Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that. And finally, we're called and saved, but for what purpose?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. Two trivia questions today, because Friday's trivia question was not answered. I was deeply wounded. I spent the entire weekend weeping and okay, not really. But the point is, we got to get that answered, and then I have another trivia question that goes with it. Here's the bottom line. Any topic is open for conversation, be it praise reports, be it prayer requests, trivia, whatever the case may be. It's what you like, and simple reason why is it's not professional radio, it's just radio. So come on down. You can be a part of it. Not a problem. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Let's start with an acknowledgement for our good friend, Clint and Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke cleanup, wind and flood cleanup. It's been raining. If you got something going on and you need something in your home, in your apartment, in your office complex, in your building, in your church, and you need it to be restored, that's where Mr. Restore comes to play. MrRestore.com is their website. Free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB, 50 years of restoration experience, and thousands of happy customers. They are also closely connected to the Adaptive Training Foundation, of which my wife and I are supporters of, where they give people hope who've lost limbs. They give these people purpose and drive. Clint and Mr. Restore, very close to them. But I'm going to talk to you about his business. If you need restoration service, get in touch with Mr. Restore. You can also connect to them through hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Let me check in real quickly with Wonder Julie. Make sure she's doing A-okay. Nothing that going on that I need to be aware of. How you doing?
I'm good. It's a little rough after you have to change the clocks like that.
I did change them on Saturday, like you said.
Okay.
I changed them on Saturday, and I told my wife about it. It did seem to help. We changed them earlier, like 5, 6 o'clock, just to kind of get into the mode and the mood. So that by the time Sunday afternoon came around, it was like we were kind of used to it.
Sure.
So ready to go. So thank you for reminding it. And if those people are out there and you forgot to change your clocks, I only have one thing to say. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. Let's talk about a few different things. I do want to drop back the trivia question we did not get an answer to. For those that do not know what that trivia question is, and do you want to know why I was weeping all weekend? Here it is. What did Esau give in exchange for his birthright? He wanted to have something, and so he gave his birthright away. What was it? It's not that fancy. It's something we should be able to answer pretty easily for those geniuses out there. 972-445-0770. Let's make sure we do, though, our holidays. Do you have any
idea? Of course, I don't.
Okay. Barbie Day.
Okay.
Okay, I got nothing there. Fill our staplers day.
Okay.
You know, you open up the stapler and you put the stuff in. False teeth day.
Don't lose them.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. National Crab Meat Day and National Meatball Day. By the way, I had some meatballs a couple days ago. Fantastic. I love meatballs.
Okay, I love crab.
Oh, really? So mm-hmm. There you go. And then it's Get Over It Day.
Yeah.
And you think, what is Get Over It? Get Over It.
That should be every day.
Yeah. I mean, just get over it. Move on. Here's a couple things you don't know. We'll use the history, then we'll get into the teaching part of the show. Bottom line, in 1562, on this day, kissing in public was punishable by death.
Oh, my.
Naples, Italy made it a crime to kiss in public, punishable by death. I think they've been kind of depressed over there ever since. 1935, the cartoon character Porky Pig made his first appearance in I Haven't Got a Hat. Do you think that means nothing? Oh, it means so much. It does. The first Ford Mustang was built on this day in 1964. I think they meant mass release, not first built. And then U2 in 1987 released their album, The Joshua Tree, which was a very well-received album by many a folk. Again, our trivia question, not complex. What did Esau give in exchange for his birthright? If you know it online, you can type in the answer. That would help, too. Or you can call the show. Our number, what is our number? 972-445-0770. I'm telling you right now, we're not doing our normal Monday. As though we ever do a normal anything here. That's boring. I'm going to read to you out of 2 Timothy. I got a little theology, but not yet in this first teach, but this is really a cool element in 2 Timothy. Now somebody's calling in before I even get to 2 Timothy. They know what's coming. They know what's coming. So somebody's calling in to give the answer. I will wait because I have to have this answered. I can't tell you what I did all weekend over this. Hold on. This is David. Who's calling?
This is David.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. All right, my friend, it's a simple question. I'm not going to tell you what I did over the entire weekend until you answer it. The question is, what did Esau give in exchange for his birthright?
I believe it was a bowl of soup or a meal.
That's right. So, but we'd call it a stew. You would really call it a stew. And here's
a stew.
And some people don't realize this, but that's what I did all weekend. I stewed over that.
That worked for me.
All right. Good job, brother. Good way to call in and get us going on the right track. I appreciate that.
All right.
All right. God bless you. Thank you so much for getting that right and for calling in.
You're welcome, Mark.
All right. God bless. Bye. All right. Good job. See, I stewed over that all weekend. All right. Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Get ready. I'm going to really challenge you. Here's what he says in verse 6. This is Paul writing to Timothy, kind of close to his last letter here, or if not his last letter. It says this, therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So we know that a lot of people take that passage, 2 Timothy 1:7, and whenever they're afraid of something, they say, well, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound judgment. And that's right. And the other passage, by the way, other translations say sound mind. That's good. It's saz friend in the Greek, which means saz, which is safe friend, which is thinking or thought process. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and safe thinking, safe mindedness. Okay. It's connected, though, and there's nothing wrong with quoting that scripture when you're going through something tough, but in its context, it's connected to Paul reminding young Timothy that he does not need to be ashamed or reserved, I should say, in working forward in the gift that God has given him. Some of you have been gifted by the Lord. Perhaps it is teaching. Perhaps it is just words of encouragement. Perhaps it is just really exhibiting love for people who are really hurt. Perhaps you have a phenomenal intercessory prayer ability, because when you pray for people, your faith goes up a couple of notches. It does for some people, where they're praying for others, and even though they don't always get it, that same level of faith for themselves, they believe even more for others, and there's a little bit of an intercessory prayer going on there. Perhaps it's just a gift of serving, which is the great gift. It is perhaps a gift of cleaning up, of visitation, of anything along those lines. There's nothing over or under spiritual about a gift that God has given you to help others. It is what God has given you. It is your capacity. It is your gift that God has given you to be a blessing to others. Boom. Don't be afraid to use it. That passage right there in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, is directly attached to verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. The Lord has given you and I gifts and gifting, and it's quite simple. Don't be afraid to use it. And what happens for many of us is we're like, and the answer that comes from Scripture is don't do that. Don't be afraid. Don't be hesitant. Offer your gift. If the pastor is unsure, if the church is unsure as to how to use your gift, ask them to pray about it. If you have a desire to go to a foreign place and share the gospel, to go on a short trip, to lead a Bible study, to be a host of a Bible study, to be a person who greets people, the first thing they see is your face, your smile, your contagiousness in the Lord. Great. That's awesome. Maybe he's given you a gift of teaching. Maybe he's given you a gift of study. Maybe he's given you a gift of passionate prayer. I don't know. It's what the Lord is giving you. Don't be afraid to use your gift. God didn't give it to you because God was bored and took a deck of cards out and shuffled the deck of cards and started shooting cards at everybody and just said, okay, there's your gifts, there's your gifts, there's your gifts. He gave you a gift for a purpose, for a plan, for a function. And I encourage you, as much as lies within me, there's many times where I feel for me, I have a gift of encouragement. I use that gift right now to move you one inch closer to not being afraid to use your gift to be a blessing to others. The purpose of the gifts are not trophies. The purpose of the gifts are not toys. The purpose of the gifts of God are tools to strengthen and to build up one another in the kingdom of God. It's such a great, great, great honor that the Lord has bestowed upon you either an ability that is normal but rarely used, an enhanced ability, a supernatural element. I don't care. If it builds up the body of Christ, then use it. And don't be afraid to use it. And you can tell in this text, Paul's like, hey, you know, you got something in you, dude, that really blesses people. You ought to use that. Because he tells them, hey, rekindle it. Get that thing going again that you did for people. It was such a blessing. Now, I doubt it was him making bagels, but, you know, if it was, make the bagels. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Who is David Spoon?
We have on the line Tina from Elko. And Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
Is this the first time you've heard the show?
No, I listen to you every time I get into my car when I leave my job.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Is there anything that we can be praying for just to be in agreement with you regarding anything that the Lord's working on in you?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, fire away.
First of all, I'd like to see my family's hearts turned. Second of all, I am not putting God first, and I'm not being obedient in certain ways. Let me sum it up a little bit. I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
I should answer it. So I really need prayer to get back on track with God.
Okay, let me pray with you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we lift up Tina to you, and we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that first and foremost you would work on her family's hearts, that there'd be a softening and that there'd be a grace and a mercy given to the family and between the relationship that Tina has with the family, and we just pray that your mercy would prevail, and we just pray that you would encourage her. Instead of this being a discouragement, let this become an encouragement that she is a daughter of the Most High seeking out help from her Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, 972-445-0770. You're always welcome to call and say, howdy. Our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Got to do a little bit of family business for you. Don't mind having to tell you the truth, because we have been trying to be forward all the way through. We have been unable to pay the radio bill as of this moment, and my wife and I have been unable to pay the rent of which we live. So we're asking for help. If you can give it, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. Do not allow guilt to enter in the situation or manipulation. That's horrible. If the Lord leads you to, great. You can go to hemustincrease.org or hemustincrease.org. Help participate. Bottom line is, we go as long as we can go on the show while we have the money. That's it. You're thinking, well, what's your radio? How much does that cost? Well, it's $800 this month. It's going to be $1,200 next month. My rent, we only got half of it. Can't do much about it. Here's what we're going to do. Go forward. Because here's the one thing you didn't. You think, well, you still paying your tithes? You bet. Actually, I paid 12%. Now, don't ask why. It's a weird thing. Bottom line, we need help. If you want to help us, great. If not, we'll trust that God has something else in mind for the future. That's all you can do. You can't do any better than that either. That's what we do. We do it as before the Lord. Some people might say, well, you should do better, work more, you know, do more work. I'm trying. Adding the PhD, probably not going to be easy. So I'm praying, saying, Lord, I don't need to do that. I can get a job, you know, at Denny's. I don't mind. But it's up to the Lord. He's got to help me through and walk me through it. Just telling you what's going on, email David at hemustincrease.org. David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Let's give a shout out to our good friend Johnny Hill.
Well, we're moving on now. Moving on now. To the east side.
All right, Johnny is the presidente. I don't know if you can say presidente or not. Presidente. Okay, of Men of God Moving, he would think it's funny. 817-707-7672. 817-707-7672. He's one of our main ministry partners. He's on the show quite a bit. We love having him. The Lord's been utilizing our relationship for us to strengthen and encourage one another. If you go to Facebook and type in Men of God Moving, you'll see his Facebook posts. Bottom line is a lot of moving companies do very well. I mean, they do a good job. And Men of God Moving, they do a fantastic job. But they move everything, everybody. Apartment, office complexes, mansions, mini houses, all of it. And they do it at a fair price. And you have to appreciate that. That's awesome. And so if you want to utilize the service, let's do good to every man, especially those the household of faith. That's what the scripture says. There you go. There's your opportunity to do that. If you need a mover, they will be great people for you to utilize. Okay. I got to start with the trivia question, but I kind of want to wait until the next segment to do the trivia question. So I'm going to hang on a little bit. Listen to this. So I've in 2 Timothy, I've told you about my devotions. It's kind of strange how my devotions have really broken down this year. So I'm spending a large amount of time in prayer. And then I do 4 days. I do it in one translation, and then it's 3 days in one translation and 3 days in three different translations, and I take Sunday off. That's my Sabbath. Okay, that's for me, not for you. No legalism, anything, nothing weird. It's just how I do it. Okay, been really able to do that very consistently. Haven't missed a week in 23 years, so I'm pretty happy about that. I like that. But what happens to me is the Lord speaks to me at different times through different translations in different books. And one of the books I'm in, 2 Timothy, another one Hebrews, another one the book of Acts, and another one Genesis. So it kind of bounces. You know, there's a lot of bouncing. Bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. Actually, I'm in 2 Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians, one of them. Anyway, in this text in 2 Timothy, there's this other portion I came across, and it just – what it did was it solidified my mindset in regards to what Scripture says regarding being saved and being called. There are a lot of cool things that go along with salvation, and you've heard me talk about salvation in three tenses: justification, sanctification, and glorification. That's actually what I wrote my thesis paper on for my master's, for my soteriology class. Very important to understand that justification is fully, completely active, and God doesn't not surprised by any sin you would ever commit, not one ever. And then sanctification is him just processing that justification so that you do look like Jesus, reflect Jesus, and glorification is when we're completely free from all of it. In this process, we are growing and going in the Lord. We're getting closer in. We're drawing closer in. We're learning more. We're reflecting more of Jesus. Here's what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "He has saved us and called us with a holy calling," watch this, "not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began." For sci-fi fans, you ought to just love this passage. It's before time began. There was no time. God invented time. God created, didn't invent, created time. Why? Because he didn't need time. No, only a timeless being would not need time. Talk about philosophy. Man, people should be getting into that all day long. But look what he says. "He saved us," past tense, "and called us," past tense, "with a holy calling." This isn't spaghetti. This is real stuff. "Not according to our works." God did not choose you because you are great. It's not because of your good looks. If you don't believe me, get a pocket mirror, take it to heart. It's not because of your good this or good that. He called you according to his works, according to his purpose, according to his plans, not according to ours. Now, the problem there for many Christians is that they think they were called for God to make them happy. Okay? Let me correct that. That is wrong. God did not call you to be a Christian so you can be happy. Oh, it's the happy gospel. Do, 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 do. I'm sure Jesus was super happy as he was on the cross bearing your sin, which we are supposed to be reflective of every day. That is not a happy moment. Sin is serious in the mind of God. It brings about death, the judgment for sin, and God doesn't like it. God didn't save you to make you happy. You might get the byproduct of joy, love, joy, peace, being fruits of the Holy Spirit, but he didn't save you so you can be happy and that your Christianity is a carnival. That is not the intent. It is not according to our good works, which means we can't earn it. And while faith is demonstrated by works, it is actually the work of God that enables us to do the work, which shows that he helps us with the faith. And so here we are, and that's a whole separate argument for a whole other time. So here we are, listen to what Paul says, and God, he makes it clear, God saved you, and he called you. He saved you, you're saved, saved. Now he's calling you, he's called you, you're in that process, you've been called, you're reflecting Jesus Christ more and more, step by step, but it's not according to your works, but according to his own purpose. The single hardest thing for Christians to regularly embrace right after why God loves us is God has a plan that's beyond us, and it's not up to us to figure out his plan, but to give him the big yes, Lord. Remember this passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Just think about that. Repeat that 15 times. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Guess what? You don't get to lean on your understanding. Lean not. Lean not. Lean not. Don't do it. Why? Because it is not going to make sense when you try to incorporate God's purposes and plans into your understanding outside of the proclamation of the gospel. It's the only thing you can get. And you can count on. So all that we go through, and sometimes it's horrendous, but it all has a purpose. It all has a plan to it. It all has a point to it. It all has a strategy to it. And it's God's strategy according to his purpose, according to his will, according to his design and his understanding, not ours. Now, this was given. This is a grace, by the way, which means unfair, unmerited favor, which means that us participating in God's plan, purpose, and will is given as a gift. And it was given to us in Christ before time. Which is like, what? What do you mean before? Before there was time, God had put this whole thing together. If you really look at Ephesians 1:4 and Ephesians 1:11, you get the understanding that before anything else ever happened, there was a plan. And guess what? God doesn't like to be told your plan's not going to work. Get it? So the devil rebels, and does God disintegrate him? Nope, uses him. You make mistakes. Does God disintegrate you? Nope, teaches you through those mistakes. Talk about not wasting. Nobody better at that than the Lord. And so the idea is for you and I to grasp that by his grace, unmerited favor, we are participants in walking according to his purpose and will, which oftentimes have nothing to do with what we think his will and purpose should be, or certainly how they should be manifested. Remember Martha? Remember Mary? Didn't like the way that Jesus saved, healed Lazarus, or his timing. Didn't matter. God had a plan and a purpose. They were believers. I'm mystified when people go, well, you know, that was back then. That was back then. That was Martha and Mary. They were in multiple stories. They were close to Jesus. They still didn't get the timing and the methodology that God used. And that's what happens to us. And we need to recognize that we are called, we are touched, we are strengthened, we are healed, we are directed, we are going through trials according to his purpose. If you don't think so, read James 1 and read 1 Peter 1. Then tell me it's not according to his purpose, because it says according to his purpose there too. So the cool thing is we do it with God, and it's for his purpose, and we can trust him that he loves us. because he's done it all for us in Christ. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you think that's bad, wait till you get back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
We happen to be people who are able to, you know, go with the Lord while the flow is going, while the river is going, while the joy is going, and then something comes in the way like a pebble, like a pebble, and then we trip and we're like, ay, 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 and we don't know what we're doing. Here's the key. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be this superhuman, beyond capacity, exactly like Jesus in everything you say or do in each moment. That's not happening.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to let you know, if you want to reach us, 972-445-0770. You're welcome to call and say howdy. We do have a trivia question that we are going to be asking. I think I'll ask it right now. Here it is. Okay, get ready. Trivia people, get ready. Okay, ready? Ready. This is from the book of Acts. What was Paul and Silas, what was their response to being beaten and locked up in prison for doing kingdom work? What was their response? In other words, after they were beaten up, severely beaten, the Bible says, and locked in prison, what did they do? How did they respond? That's the question. 972-445-0770. Paul and Silas. 972-445-0770. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Let's give a shout out to one of our ministry partners, Kimberly Ellis.
Our house is a very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard.
Kimberly Ellis. So Kimberly, it goes by Kimberly McQuinn, and then it was Kimberly McQuinn Ellis. And so as a statement to her husband, because she loves her husband and her husband loves her, she's just kind of dropped it. Now it's just Kimberly Ellis. That's what she goes by now, and I just think it's fantastic, and we support that. Here's the bottom line. She is extremely knowledgeable in real estate. She is able to help first-time buyers, experienced investors, people in foreclosures, either selling or purchasing of foreclosures, short sales, whatever the case may be, you can connect with her for free, get advice, not have to pay anything for this, and work with her. And if you like what's going on and you think she's the one to work with, awesome. It's just your opportunity to see if the waters are right, testing the waters, kind of checking out the land. Her number, 903-48-HOMES, 903-48-HOMES. And for those that are trying to figure that out, that's 903-48-HOMES. You can always connect to her through our website, hemustincrease.org. Under there, we have best ministry partners ever. You click on that, and it will take you two different sites that she has that we have her connected to. You can also go to her site. Now, she is an expert in realty, so we say turn to Kimberly. She has turn, the number two, turn, so it's turn, T-U-R-N, to realtyteam.com, because she's developing a whole team around this. She has people that can help in the appraisal department, in the finance department, in every aspect of everything, getting the house prepped, getting the house cleaned. If you buy a house, maybe making add-ons. She's got all those people connected. Turn to realtyteam.com. Turn to Kimberly, 903-48-HOMES. And we had her on last week, and I think that hopefully if she's not on this week, she'll be on hopefully next week or the week thereafter. Okay? A lot of family business stuff. All right, last thing we still have, and then we're going right into this teaching. Don't forget what our question is. Very straightforward. What was Paul and Silas, what was their response to once they got beaten up, severely beaten, locked up in prison? This is just before the earthquake took place in the book of Acts, while they were in prison. What was their response to all of that? They had a response. Very specific. Other people were able to understand what that was. If you have an answer to what that is, 972-445-0770. Gonna do a teaching now. You're just gonna go, what? Following on the heels of discussing according to his works, according to his own purpose, that's why God chose you, that's why God saved you. I want to look at verse 10 in the 2 Timothy text because it teaches so much. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whoops. Normally this text is used for Easter. Or at least I would use it for Easter. But I was able to do, you know, I'm doing a little bit of pre-study for the whole PhD process. And in lieu of that pre-study, was able to do a study on, had to do a study on death. And so it's fresh in my mind. Just telling you right now. So before we get into what I'm about to get into, which is going to scare some of you, we're going to get the call answered, the trivia question answered, and then we're going to get right back in the teaching. Don't go anywhere. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. I'm doing fantastic, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, too.
Amen.
I'm sorry to hear about your shortage, but we'll pray that the Lord sends laborers in the field to bring us some harvest soon.
Amen, brother. It's all I ask for. Just keep praying for us, and we just believe that the Lord will open that door. He'll provide that. He'll provide the way. We believe that. All right. Now, you know, this was a, you know, I did a little study on this. This was a kind of a tough beating. It actually says severely beaten. I mean, these guys were with wooden rods, by the way. They were beaten. Usually they would do some form of caning that we would understand, but they were severely beaten, which means they got a much larger amount than normal. And then they got locked up because the jailer was said, somehow, happens to these guys, it's your life. And so he was like, wow.
Yeah.
What did they do when that happened to them? What was their response?
They were singing hymns. And
that's right. That's exactly right. So here's what they did. They were praying and they were praising. So that's 100% right. They were singing hymns, and those hymns are songs of – the word hymn in the Greek is song of praise. So you are right 100%. Ding, ding, ding. You got that one nailed down. Because that's – and you can be in the worst situation. You can be in a situation where you're beaten up, where people take wood rods and hit you with it. They put you in the middle of prison. And you know what? They were singing praise, praying to God, honoring the Lord, because they were just connected to him and were thrilled as can be. How about that?
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of that great scripture. Job said, though the Lord slay me, yet I will trust him. And that's always a good scripture to go with, too, when somebody's been beaten. But, yeah, you praise him because he inhabits the praise of people. So if you're praising him, then you certainly have a communication and relationship there that's strong.
Exactly.
In your time of need.
Exactly. What's really cool about that is the next verse says the prisoners were listening to them. So people are always watching what the response is that we have when we go through stuff. And these guys were like, Jesus all the way, man. Jesus all the way. Excellent.
That's a true believer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
Excellent answer. Thank you, brother.
Right. You bet.
All right. God bless you. All right. Love, Jerry. Good answer. All right. See, that's what you know. You guys know. You know your Bible. It's an awesome thing. All right. I want to go back to this death thing because it's going to freak you out. Ready? I'm going to say something. You're not going to believe it. Oh, get ready. Get ready. 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 Death is God's witness that you better make a decision. What? Death is God's witness that you better make a decision for or against God. A person who doesn't believe in God scoffs and almost doesn't believe that death will have any impact on them until they die. A believer who knows that death is an inevitable part of the process, that unless the Lord comes back, that that's a stepping stone, and that, as Scripture says, we're actually just asleep, appreciates that death puts a parameter on it. And while people mock all the Christians they want, they mock all the people and all the faith we have, guess what they don't mock? Their own death. Want to know why? Because it's biting. They cannot escape that they will die. And they try to look away or just have some kind of way to ignore it until it comes about. And then death comes about, boom, it's over. And if they haven't chosen for God, it's a terrifying, fearful, discouraging, depressing, depleting concept. But for a Christian, death is a stepping stone, not a cessation, but a stepping stone to getting closer to the Lord. To depart and be with Christ is far better, Paul said. It has been made evident through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For the Christian, death has no teeth. Jesus kicked death's teeth right down death's mouth. I mean, whoa! I don't know if you've ever seen it, even in the movie, somebody's when their teeth are broken, it's like, it's a shattering disaster, right? Well, that's what Jesus did to death. Bam, right in the face. And as a believer, it's for us, it's like a glory. It's like, that's right, that's right. He's overcome death. He's overcome all of this. So for a non-believer, death is that final witness that they failed to acknowledge and then will be consumed by. At some point, all things related to death will be consumed and removed from existence. That authority has been given to Christ. He's not fully exercised it yet. That's why people still die. But for the Christian, it has been exercised. And you do not ever, ever have to be afraid of death. Because just like I said, it's just this way. Because Jesus kicked death's teeth right in its mouth and shattered them forever. I'm like, wow! I want to be on Jesus' side. I want to be on his side. He wins a lot, doesn't he? That's why all authority in heaven and earth is his. I go his side. I like the winning team. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving part, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope, federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
I got nothing to say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Yeah, I've done that pretty good. I think I've overcome that whole thing. Here in Texas. By the way, I did not tell Wonder Julie, so I thought I'd tell her this before we do the last segment.
What's up?
I had to cut my yard this week.
It's done now.
Yeah, Friday I did elliptic glider, a little bit of elliptic glider. I thought, oh, that hurts a little on my shoulder. I think I'll wait. Saturday I got up, did all my stuff. It was 1 o'clock. I was like, I have to cut the yard. Spent 3 hours cutting the front and 2/3 of the back. Sunday I had to cut the other third, then weeded everything, and that took an hour and a half. It took me about 4.5 hours.
Well, maybe that rider will come through for you.
I'm thinking if the Lord comes back before the next time I have to mow, I'm okay with that. I think that would be cool. The worst part about it is I understand it's supposed to rain today and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday or something of next week, maybe even Monday or whatever. And I'm just sitting there thinking I'm going to cut it in 2 weeks and it's going to be like 9 feet tall.
You need a goat.
I need a goat. That's what I need. I need a goat. That is exactly what I need. So I just thought I'd tell you, I cut the yard. I got nothing. Okay, folks, I want to do this last segment. It's a really cool segment, really. Also, in these are all 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm not even doing really an expository type teaching. I'm just kind of going through and talking about it. And I'm trying to do so in a way that will give you some encouragement in the scripture. Because the idea is not for me just to teach and share stuff, but my idea is for you and I to draw closer one step at a time, one way at a time, one issue at a time, that we can just get closer to the Lord. When you read the Word, I'm telling you, when you read the Word of God and you think, oh man, I'm not close to that, I'm not doing that, don't sit there and get discouraged. Bring that before the Lord and say, I need to do a better job of that. Please help me. You don't have to make a big offering. You don't have to burn half your books on fire, and you don't have to, you know, take the dog and comb its hair and take all that hair and set it on fire in order to set it. Tell the Lord you need help working on something. I mean, that is how this process goes, okay? So the first thing we talked about was understanding that we don't need to be afraid, and we certainly don't need to be afraid in regards to using our gifts. The next thing we talked about is understanding our purpose in being called and in being saved, and it's not according to our works, but it's according to God's purpose. It's not about making us happy. It's about fulfilling His plan. This is where that whole prayer, when you pray this way, "Our Father who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," is before anything that has to do with us. Remember? That's the first part of that. And then the last thing, we talked about life and death, and we talked about immortality and Jesus kicking death's teeth in, and that death is actually a witness for God. And for some people, it's the last witness they'll ever know before they go into eternal hell. It's a reality. But instead of us being afraid of death, we can move forward because death has been conquered on our behalf by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, and that He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Awesome. Here's this last section. I want to talk about this in verse 12. Paul says, "This is why I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day." Hold on. "Hold on to that pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me in faith and love and that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit through the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Here's something that Paul says that's superbly important. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says the same phrase, get this, 3 times. In verse 8, he says, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." In verse 12, he says, "But I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed." And in verse 16, he says, "Onesimus often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." There are too many people who are ashamed of their faith in this world. Social media has done many good things and many bad things, but any Christian who is ashamed because they don't want people to not like them, that is the highest example of committing before God idolatry and faithlessness. You don't put up something there on social media because you don't want people to dislike you. Why? Are you living for people? Do you live for the praise of people? Is it important to have a certain amount of followers? Jesus taught in such a way that at some point his followers are like, "Wow, this is hard. Who can follow this? We're not going to keep following this." And Jesus said, "Bye. See ya." He didn't go, "Oh, I didn't mean it that way. Let me take it back and say it different. Or for those of you I offended, I apologize." You know, Jesus didn't do that. He said, "You're blessed if you're not offended in me." That's what he said. And Christians ought to stop being apologetic and ashamed. "I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed in." I mean, are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed that he died on that cross? Are you ashamed of his words? One of the things Jesus said, anybody who's ashamed of me and my words... The world will not like it. Do not misunderstand. If you're looking to be friends with MSNBC or CNN or ABC or CBS or NBC or PBS, or for that matter, Fox, which says more dumb things than most people recognize, just not as many dumb things as the other people. Listen, if you're ashamed and you don't want those people to dislike you, you're not living for Christ. You and I have to be in a position where it's like, nope, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And if they don't like it, tough. Well, we want to modulate that. That's what they'll teach in seminary, by the way. I've already been through this course. I already had these huge arguments with people in class. No, you have to be able to speak to the world in such a way. You don't speak to the world in such a way. The truth is the truth. Cultures may change, but the truth never changes. If you want to be a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, then do not let your fear of what the world thinks alter your presentation of the truth. You might teach in a different capacity, but the truth is the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. And if people don't like it, too bad. And if people in your realm on social media don't like it, too bad. The goal is not whoever gets the most followers wins. That's not how the game goes. Whoever has the most toys wins. That's not how it is. It's whoever follows Jesus to the end wins. And following Jesus to the end doesn't mean, well, I'm going to be really super nice to all these other people because I don't want them to dislike me. I would rather those people just click me off and move on. I'd rather not waste my breath arguing with somebody who's already demonized in their thinking and doesn't want to change. I'm open to it, but I'd rather not cast my pearls before swine. You can't say that, Dave. You can't say cast pearls before swine. Jesus said it. I can't say it. He put it in the book for us. The reason I bring that up is because too many Christians are ashamed because they have other projects that they want to do, other things they want to accomplish, and they don't want to lose the audience. Too bad. Those things are not as important as advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a simple question. Do you know him in whom you have believed? Because if you know him, then your response will be the same thing that it was for Peter and James and John. To where else would we go? To who else could we speak? Who else has the words of life? Nobody. And if people don't like it, they can lump it. And you're thinking, that is so mean. No, that's pretty much what Jesus said. If you're not offended in me, you're blessed. He was impressed when people were following him and giving it all up for him. Don't be ashamed. I am not ashamed because I know him in whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to guard that which is entrusted to me until that day. The Lord will keep you, but you have to stay in. This isn't about you being friends with the world and making, I'm just so popular. Congratulations. That and a nickel and you can still go to hell. That doesn't mean anything. What means something is standing fast and firm in Jesus Christ. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.